Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Anil Chili's first quarter 2019 results conference call. My name is Norma, and I will be your operator for today. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guaranteed of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors described in Anil Chili's press release reporting its first quarter 2019 results. The presentation accompanying this conference call and Anil Chili's annual report form on 20F, including under risk factors. You may access our first quarter 2019 results, press release, and presentation on our website, www.enal.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website at www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only of as their dates. Chili Anil undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Susanna Ray, Head of Investor Relations of Chili Anil. Please begin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Anil Chili's first quarter 2019 results presentation. I'm Susanna Ray, Head of Investor Relations. Here with me are Paolo Palotti, CEO of Anil Chili, and Marcelo Jesus, CFO of the company. We invite you to follow along with the presentation uploaded on our website, and as always, we will have a question and answer session for those on the call. After this call and Q&A session, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information you may need with respect to the figures included in this presentation. Now, let me hand over the call to Paolo.
Thank you, Susanna. In this presentation, first I'll provide some highlights, and then I'll take you through the operation performance of the period. Then I will hand over the presentation to Marcelo to comment on our financials. Our first quarter results show renewable contribution in our generation business. The additional 1.2 gigawatt renewable capacity through EGP consolidation continues to improve our mix and our EBITDA margin on generation. A specific highlight on Los Condores. We reached 76% level of completion. This means that after 3 years of underground work in complex geological conditions, the ongoing excavation of the right side tunnel that will capture water to carry to the powerhouse has been completed. In infrastructure networks, we continue to focus our investment in improving our network resilience, the quality of our services and efficiencies, as demonstrated by the improvement of energy losses. On April, as per Anglo America's notice, we have reached an agreement for the early termination of the three power purchase agreements for a total amount of $178 million, as per contract compensation clause. All in all, our EBITDA growth for the quarter was 98%. Finally, our FFO improvement during the quarter reaching $174 million, an increase of almost 14%, mainly due to the higher EBITDA level and lower cash tax. Moving to slide 2, we will see how we allocated our CapEx, which increased by 44%, reaching $86 million in the quarter. Customer CapEx increased mainly due to the construction of two new substations as part of our commitment to improve the resilience of our network and, therefore, for our quality of services. Asset management CapEx largely decreased during the period, and is mainly due to the one-off failure maintenance costs related to Tarapacá thermal plant in first quarter 2018. Regarding growth, asset development increased by $27 million during the period, mainly due to Los Condors project and AGP CapEx. Following our business plan, future investment will continue to be allocated to renewable growth and to improve the quality of service to our clients. In slide 3, we move to the operating analysis of our generation business. Installed capacity increased by 17%, with incorporation of 1.2 gigawatt renewable capacity coming from EGP, totally amounting to 7.5 gigawatts. Net production increased by 28%, amounting to 5.5 terawatt-hour, driven by 0.8 terawatt-hour of higher renewable generation, mainly coming from EGP, 0.4 terawatt-hour of higher thermal generation, mainly coming from gas production. Physical energy sales increased by 5%, or 0.3 terawatt-hour, primarily due to 0.9 terawatt-hour of higher contracted sales with free customers, offset by minus 0.7 terawatt-hour or lower consumption of distribution companies, mainly associated to the migration of customers to the free market. Now, on slide 4, regarding our network business. We are focusing on digitalizing our grid within our customer base, improving the network resilience and the quality of service for our 1.9 million clients. In this regard, we saw an increase in our customer base this quarter of 2%, or 45,000 during this period, with a total amount of 4.1 terawatt-hour, representing an increase of 3% of distributed energy. On the digitalization side, during first quarter 19, we installed 52 new telecontrols, totaling 1,784 new controls installed as per March 2019. On the resilience of the grid, we strategically focus on the critical areas of Saidi and Saifi, and we replace approximately 14 kilometers of cable in our low-tension grids and more than 13 kilometers of grid extension and reinforcement. Our interruption index, Saidi, in the last 12 months shows a 27% improvement with respect to the last year, below the regulatory level expected for 2020. Saifi, from the last 12 months, also decreased from 1.8 to 1.6 numbers of interruption. As part of our continuous effort to enhance efficiency, the energy losses has had an important decrease from 5.1% to 4.8%, which is one of the lowest levels in South America. Now, I will pass the call to Marcelo to comment on our financials.
Thanks, Paolo. Good morning, everyone. First, on slide 5, let me present the financial highlights for this year. Revenues increased 40%, or $333 million, primarily due to the higher energy sales and gas normalization and extraordinary income on the early termination of Anglo-American's PPA. Our reported EBITDA was up by $257 million, boosted by the growth in our generation business and the Anglo-America one-off impact. Excluding this impact, our EBITDA growth reached $75 million, an increase of 29%. Attributable net income was up by 149%, or $156 million. Excluding Anglo-America one-off impact, it increased 31%, in line with the adjusted EBITDA growth. Gross CapEx increased almost 44%, reaching $86 million, most on asset development on renewables, as previously mentioned by Paul. Company net debt reached $3.3 billion, explained by the consolidation of EGP and the new debt issued by Enel Chile to finance the tender offer of Enel Generación. Finally, our cash flow continues strong, reaching $174 million, 14% higher than the figures reported on December 2018. Now, on slide 6, let me show you the breakdown and the drivers of our double-sized EBITDA growth. In our generation business, the EBITDA growth was around 140%, including $70 million from EGP, $16 million of our conventional generation business, and $182 million from the Anglo-America one-off impact. Excluding the effect of Anglo-America, our generation business EBITDA growth was around $87 million, with an important contribution from the additional 1.2 gigawatt renewable capacity coming from EGP. With respect to the distribution business, which includes infrastructure networks, analytics, and retail, EBITDA decreased by $3 million, mainly due to the retail performance and higher OPEX on distribution business. Holding activities consumed additional $80 million, mainly related to the amortization of hedging costs related with our dollar-denominated debt. Finally, and most importantly, I would like to highlight that EBITDA growth came with a better EBITDA margin, which reached 34%, improving from 31% last quarter, excluding the one-off impact of Anglo-America. This is a result of our strategy on a more efficient portfolio of assets through additional renewable capacity. Now, on slide 7, let's take a deeper look at the main drivers of our net ordinary income. Depreciation and amortization reached $90 million, an increase of $32 million mainly due to the EGP assets. Financial results and others amounted to an expense of $45 million, an increase of $38 million, mainly due to the $19 million of higher financial expenses related to the ELK project and $21 million from the consolidation of EGP Chile. Tax increased by $57 million as a result of higher EBITDA. Minority net income decreased by 60%, mainly as a consequence of the higher stake of Enel Chile in Enel Generación since April last year. Given all the aforementioned, ordinary net income increased 149%. If we exclude the Anglo-America one-off impact, reported net income would have grown 31% in line with the recurring EBITDA growth. Moving to cash flow on slide 8. FFO in 2019 amounted to $174 million, which represents a cash conversion ratio of about 52% of our EBITDA, excluding the Anglo-America Agreement extraordinary revenues. This is an important aspect of our business, which clearly shows that cash from our operation is sufficient to fund 100% of our current capex and dividends, is still resulting in a net free cash flow of about $40 million. In January, we've paid around $50 million of interim dividends to our shareholders. Now, on slide 9, let's take a look to our debt. Our gross debt increased by about $740 million versus first quarter 2018, amounting to $3.6 billion primarily as a consequence of the consolidation of EGP debt, the new financial debt due to the leasing IFRS 16, offset by the amortization of the debt raised to finance ELK project, and Series H bond amortization, among others. Of the total gross debt, 63% corresponds to bonds, and 37% corresponds to loans. At first quarter 2019, net debt EBITDA ratio reached 2.1 times net debt EBITDA. The average cost of our debt decreased to 5.4% versus Q1 figures, mainly explained by the bridge loan for ELK project and better financing conditions in the Chilean market. Our net debt in the Q1 2019 compared to December 2018, adjusted by IFRS 16, decreased by $34 million, mainly due to the higher cash generation. It's worth mentioning that we have a bridge loan for around $200 million, maturing July 2019, which has been already refinanced with a four-year intercompany loan with EFI, with an all-in cost of 3.7%. Besides that, we have an annual average of $200 million maturing in the next 5 years. Finally, I want to highlight that we feel comfortable with the leverage level achieved this year, considering our strong cash generation, as well as the next year's expected EBITDA. Now I will pass the call to Paolo for closing remarks.
Thank you, Marcelo. The energy industry is facing a significant transition where clients will be key players in this new context, affecting all the segments of the energy value chain. Companies able to anticipate such transition and to operate with a scale of flexibility will be the ones that will create value for its shareholders and clients. In our view, our company is well positioned to play a key role in this context. Our strategy of adding renewable capacity, taking advantage of EGP assets, is yielding our results. Enel Chile reported an EBITDA of $519 million with a recurring EBITDA growth increase of 29%. Investment in digitalization and in the resilience of our grid are improving the quality of service to our clients, as demonstrated by the 27% reduction of SAIDI, which achieved 180 minutes, continued to be the lowest level in South America, and by the decrease of 6% in energy losses, reaching 4.8%. Our EBITDA cash flow conversion is also leveraging on our sustainable growth, which enables us to continue improving the mix of our portfolio of assets with a solid capital structure. All in all, our performance is then a result of our commitment to consider sustainability as part of our business model, achieving our target in conjunction with the support to the economic and social development of communities and areas where we operate. With regard to the recent announcement on distribution regulation, we strongly believe that smart meters technology is a necessary and fundamental tool to enable the digitalization of the system and to recognize the empowerment of the client that will be able to play an active role to manage his own consumption and needs. Talking about distribution return, the government has recently delivered to Congress a bill suggesting a 6% discount rate floor. The discussion is in early stage, and both Chamber and Senate will have to analyze the subject. As disclosed in our plan, we have already included a 7% post-tax discount rate as from November 2020 onwards. We are confident in our business plan metrics and portfolio of assets that are leveraging on our long-term profitability, and we continue to work hardly to deliver our commitment to our shareholders. Thank you for your attention, and now let's open the Q&A session in which I will be glad to answer any question you may have. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. To prevent any background noise, we ask that you place your line on mute once your question has been stated. Again, at this time, if you have a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Rico Bartoli of Main Source. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few of them. First of all, on the distribution business, you alerted in press release that there was a decrease in the EBITDA due to some acceleration of maintenance works in the quarter. I was wondering if you expect a normalization of this over the next quarters, if you can provide some details of the impact, and if you can give us a guidance for the EBITDA from distribution for the full year. The second question is related to power generation. If you can give us the contribution from the assets acquired from EGP and actually elaborate a bit on the margins evolution in the quarter in the traditional power generation. I saw that hydro and coal production was more or less stable. There was an increase in oil and gas production. If you can provide some details on this and some outlook relating to the full year. And the last one is regarding the guidance. If I remember well, we have $1.7 billion guidance for EBITDA this year. If this you think is still achievable, and to provide some comments on how confident you are about achieving that. Thank you.
Okay, I left the last question to Marcelo regarding the evolution of the costs in general distribution. There are the main driver is the cost for the implementation of the requirement in the Norma Tecnica. And this is included in the adaptation of the tariff that starting from September 2018. So this is already covered by the additional revenues. Regarding the generation, let me give you some feeling about our performance. The performance in the first quarter is driven first, mainly for the increase in the CCGT production, that is in the range of 3.3 terawatt hour, and this is mainly driven by the let's say the use of Argentinian gas. We reach in a percentage in this consumption approximately in the of 80% of use Argentinian gas in the product in the production all in all production of CCGT. Regarding hydro, we keep stable the production. We are in line with the first quarter 2018. Regarding the contribution of the renewable assets, in terms of internal production, they are in line with the performance that has been reported in the first quarter, even if they was out of the company. So the generation of the AGP is a new added in the profile generation profile of the company. And Marcelo.
Sure. Before talking about our guidance for this year, just would like to reinforce Paulo's message, and with respect to generation, the contribution of EGP, and I would say the contribution of renewables, has really been important for our business. Just to give you an idea, out of the $86 million increase in our EBITDA, half of it comes from the better mix of generation assets. So this is really contributing to our growth, really contributing to our improvement of margin, which has increased from 37% last quarter to 44%, basically contributed by the mix of these assets. So this is a key element of our business and our strategy. With respect to our guidance, yes, we confirm our $1.7 billion EBITDA for this year. And as Paulo said, we have been working hard to deliver our commitments to our shareholders, and we do not see any reason at this point to not deliver these amounts by the end of the year.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Javier Suarez from Media Blanco. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning to everyone. It's Javier of Mediobanca. It's a follow-up after Enrico's question on the EBITDA from the generation business. So looking at the slide number 6 and the increase on the reported EBITDA on the generation business, so the thing that we see is an increase, and correct me if I'm wrong, of $268 million. So can we assume that roughly half of that amount, that is $134 million, is the contribution from new consolidated renewable energy asset? That is the first question, to understand if I understood correctly the answer to the previous question. Then the second question is on slide number give me 1 second. Slide number, I think, 3. Obviously the company's increasing exposure to the free market. That is the consequence of the migration of clients into the free market. The question would be, you can give us some light on what you do you see on the market as a consequence of that migration to the free market and the expectation for the next quarter. Help with that would be appreciated. And the final question is on the working capital on slide number 8. If you can help us to understand the number of working capital absorption during the first quarter of the year, if I'm not wrong, $130 million, and your expectation, any comment on that, and your expectation by the year end. Many thanks.
Okay. Let me take just the answer regarding the immigration of the clients, and then I'll leave the rest to myself. Regarding the immigration of the customer, there is a trend that is, let's say, is a switch from the regulated to the free market. Honestly, it is quite difficult to anticipate to make some hypotheses regarding the percentage of the switch. And what we are saying that there is a small amount of small companies that are now switching, or and sometimes they request to switch. Honestly, in some cases, we found some requests that are not ranging in the condition for the switch, but this is, an activity that is going on, even if we don't see a strong impact in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Just complementing Paolo's comments, this shift from free clients, regulated to free clients this quarter, just to give you an idea, this shift, even though was a migration from regulator to free clients, the net impact was a positive impact of $50 million. So we have a strong portfolio of contracts, which are really well contracted until 2024, with a good quality of contracts. So we feel comfortable with our portfolio at least to 2020.
Let me add one point, that this switching could be also an opportunity for the company in contacting and acquiring customers outside of the concession area. Yes. That it could be an additional upside.
With coming back to your question on the generation business on slide 6, so taking out the one-off impact for Anglo America, our EBITDA growth of 87%. The most contribution, yes, was related to Enel Green Power, but I think we need to highlight here that not additional contracts for Enel Green Power. Just to give you an idea, Enel Green Power new contracts contributed to $27 million. To our EBITDA growth, while $43 million is coming from, as I said previously, the mix of the assets. So we have, in this quarter, Enel Green Power contributed with a 255 gigawatt new contract sales, while contributed to 800 gigawatt hour production. So this is a key element, again, of our business, renewable capacity to contribute to our portfolio of contracts, which has contributed to improve our EBITDA margin. Regarding last questions on working capital, yeah, this quarter is a quarter that our hydrology is very low, so we have higher contribution of gas as well, and we have other payments with respect to electric buses. We expect our working capital requirement reduced over the year, so that we come back to our FFO ratio back to 70-80% as we have in a full year basis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, that's star 1. And at this time, I have no callers in the queue for questions. I'd like to turn the call back to Susanna Ray for closing remarks.
Well, since there are no further questions, I would like to thank your participation in today's conference call. If you need further assistance, Investor Relations team will be glad to help you. I also invite you to visit our website when you can obtain the most relevant data concerning our company. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may now disconnect. Everyone, have a wonderful day.